Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do, we look ahead to the readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as we do, I want to encourage you also, those of you who are able, to take a look at our website, renewalministries.net. We're making a number of things available to you. Go to our bookstore, go through the rest of our website, and I think you will probably find some things that will help you to grow, especially as we look at the themes of this, the readings for this past week. It's a real call on our lives to make sure to take stock, to make sure our lives are moving in the right direction. We may stumble a lot, but to make sure that our lives are moving in the right direction, so that, as the readings this week told us, whatever hour he comes, whatever hour he comes to call us home, that we're ready, we're in a good place. And I really do urge you to heed that. It's so important, brothers and sisters. Our world is, it's very, very fragile. And there are many things brewing. There are many things out there politically and economically and certainly in terms of faith. There's a lot of turmoil going on in the world. And I just want to encourage you, get your life in order. I'm not saying you're going to die. Don't misunderstand me. But get your life in order so that if more things are asked of you, if greater sacrifices need to be made, that you're in a position to generously respond to God. So take a look, please, at your own life. First reading for this Sunday is taken from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 7 to 9. Thus says the Lord, shout with joy for Jacob, exult at the head of the nations, proclaim your praise, and say, the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them back from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world with the blind and the lame in their midst, the mothers and those with child. They shall return as an immense throng. They departed in tears, but I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road so that none shall stumble. For I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. The Lord is saying clearly there through the prophet Jeremiah that I will take care of my people. I will care for you. I will deliver you from evil. And I will provide for you. But in order for us to know that, we've got to be following him. If we're going in another direction, we're not going to see his provision. So we want to be in a place where we're falling, even if we're stumbling every 5 feet or so. Get back up. Keep going. Ask him for help. Rely on him more and more to give you the grace to follow him. But please, actively follow him. Not just, oh, well, I go to church every Sunday. That's not actively following him. Anybody could walk in the church and not be affected at all. Are you participating? Are you really seeking to apply the scripture readings to your life? Are you, as Catholics, receiving the Eucharist as often as you can? This is the ultimate food for the journey. The Eucharist and his word, that's the food for the journey. Are you feeding on it as often as you can? Are you frequenting the sacrament of reconciliation so that you can receive the grace to overcome habits and patterns of sin? Take this seriously. This is how God equips us and makes us ready so that whatever happens in our lifetime, we're able to confront it with courage and faith and hope in him. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy, says Psalm 126. Certainly the exiles coming back, those who had been captive under another people coming back, were filled with joy. We were like men dreaming, says Psalm 126. Our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with rejoicing. The Lord has done great things for them, say a lot of people. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. These are people who had been in captivity. And notice it says, those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. In the midst of pain and suffering and difficulty is when our faith can really grow. It really can grow. We may be crying. It may be hard. But oftentimes things are taken away from us in a way that the only person we can trust is the Lord. And we're doubtful of that because so much has been taken away from us. Where is God? Does God really care about me? Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. So, sow the seeds of faith in your own life and in the lives of those around you. Trust him no matter what. Those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. The harvest will come. The harvest of faith will come in your life and in the lives of those in which you're trying to sow the seed of faith. It's hard, but you sow it. You shall reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, there it is. They shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. Don't you think God wants to do that for you and for me? Of course he does. I don't know what form it will take. I don't know how long it will take to see it. But do what he asks us to do, confident that he is faithful to his promises. Second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Brothers and sisters, every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and erring, for he himself is beset by weakness, and so for this reason must make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said to him, "You are my son, this day I have begotten you." Just as he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Those who are called to serve God in particular ways with Christ and in Christ are given the graces to deal patiently with the ignorant and the erring. Brothers and sisters, do you value those who bring the gospel to you? Do you encourage them? Do you pray for them? God has given so much to us. I'm too tired to go to church. I don't have time to read scriptures. I don't know. I don't have a prayer life. That's for priests and sisters. It's for every one of us. Are you taking your faith seriously? Are you coming closer and closer to the high priest, the beloved Son of the Father? Are you drawing all your strength from him or not? You're just relying on yourself. Yourself is limited. Yourself can get off target, off base. Whose voice are you listening to? And finally, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling them to be silent. "Shh! For heaven's sakes, don't interrupt things." But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." And Jesus stopped. And in that crowd of people, he says, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, he sprang up, he came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Brothers and sisters, how often do we say that to the Lord? I do very frequently. As I can get muddled I think I know where I'm going. I think I know what God wants in a particular day or a project or a situation. But when I meet obstacles or I meet challenges, I want to be able to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, that I may see. Show me the way you're going. Show me what you want me to do, and I will follow it. Lord, that I may see. Because we don't see clearly, brothers and sisters. We really don't. We're very, very short-sighted. Very. And we need to trust God. We need to turn to Him often, many times during the day, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus told him, go your way. Your faith has saved you. Immediately he received his sight and, notice, he received his sight and followed him. Immediately, right then, and followed him on the way. Where? The way to eternal life. Oftentimes you and I are blind. We think we see because we have physical sight. But there's a lot of ways in which we're blind, brothers and sisters. We need to ask God every day, Lord, that I may see today as you see, that I may deal with circumstances, seeing them as you see them, that I may keep in mind my eternal end today. Help me to keep clear. Give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear, to really see and to hear the truth. We ought to draw that, really draw that from this example. But there's a further thing. Dr. Mary Healy is one of the main editors of a Catholic commentary on sacred scripture series. And this is what she has to say about this particular passage. She says, the beginning of the journey toward Jerusalem was preceded by the gradual healing of a blind man at Bethsaida. Remember, he prayed over him for healing. Then he see, I see as in a glass darkly. I see people like trees walking. Do you remember that? And that was the first step. And the commentator says, now at the end of the journey, just before the entrance into Jerusalem, is another healing of a blind man. So at the beginning of the journey toward Jerusalem, we have one blind person asking for sight. Here at the end of the journey, we have another request for healing. This time, the healing was instantaneous and complete. And Dr. Healy says, Mark has framed the journey in this way to symbolize that it has been all about the healing of the disciples' spiritual blindness. Although Jesus had been teaching them all along the way, at this point, their vision is still only partial. They do not yet grasp who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. Only after the resurrection will their eyes be fully open. We need to learn from this. How open are my eyes? How good is my vision? Do I really see my life, my daily activities in light of eternity? Do I keep that in mind, the eternal end, as I live out my day in all the ordinary ways? Brothers and sisters, please pay heed. Take a look at this and ask for God's grace. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.